We begin the current daf, Masechet Sanhedrin, daf Chav Vav. Begin 4 lines down from the top of the Yomid. The Gemara continues explaining the previous Mishnah. That is, the Mishnah spoke about individuals that are possible to be Edim or to be Dayanim. And in that list, the final one was, those are Seichri Shvias. Those that do commerce, they do business with Shemitah produce, which is forbidden. So again, which is part of all that category of individuals where they're suspect to violate Torah law for financial gain, and therefore we're suspecting that maybe when it comes to a court case, they'll testify falsely or be biased in the court case because of financial reasonings, and therefore they're invalid. Now, on the last category, Amr Reb Shimon said, "B'tchilah ha'yikarin oisin ois v'shvies." Originally, they called them the gatherers of the Shemitah produce, and then ultimately, then they changed them and they called them the merchants of Shemitah produce. So the Gemara might come up, what is Reb Shimon saying? What is the relevancy? What's he elucidating by saying that regarding the last category that originally they were called Eis Vishvis, and then subsequently they were called Seich Vishvis? So Rabbi Yehuda says, Hachikam, and this is what Reb Shimon is saying. B'tchiloha Yo'aymrim, originally they would say, Eis Vishvis Kesherin. Those that gathered the Shemitah produce, they're going to be kosher, because they're not necessarily doing any violation of Torah law. What they're gathering, although it looks a little suspect, what are you gathering? Maybe they're gathering to eat it, and although you have to eat it before what's called the Zman Habi, or the time of when you have to get rid of all the Shemitah produce, you can't keep it in your house once it's already liquidated outside and the animals can't get it, maybe he's going to eat it in that time. So originally they said that if we find someone gathering tons of Shemitah produce, we didn't say necessarily that there's a problem, and we said that he'll still be kosher to be an aide, a witness in a court case. But Seichrin Psulin, but of course if he's a merchant and he's doing something wrong already, then it's going to be possible. But then, Mishir Rabu, Mamtsiye Moislaniyim, but then when that happened was that people were giving money to the poor, Va'azlaniyim, Va'asvilahu Umaisu, and then the poor were basically working for these people, and with that money were going to gather and bring tons of the Shemitah produce because they were getting paid because of money, which therefore that makes the people that hired the poor people to gather Shemitah produce for them into merchants of Shemitah produce. Now that's a problem because the Torah says, la'achlo, you could only use the Shemitah produce in the context of eating and not for business dealings, as the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah Daf Samach Beis Amud Aleph. So therefore, according to Rabbi Huda's interpretation, what the Mishnah is saying is that in the beginning, for those that we said that are pasul now, which was the last thing the Tanakham had said, because they're known as merchants of Shemitah produce, originally they called them Eisvei Shvias. That category they called them those who gather Shemitah produce, and they were kosher. But once it increased the Anosim, those who were doing things oppressive and wrong, then Chazru Leima, then they went and they consequently said, Echadzeh ve'echadzeh, that no, both the regular merchants of Shemitah produce and these that we were up until now known as the Eisvei Shvias, just the gatherers of Shemitah produce, they went and then they called them also merchants and Pesulin, and they became invalid too because it was obvious that these people are not just consuming it, they're hiring poor people to gather it for them. That's a problem because there's financial involved over here. It's like doing business with Shemitah produce, and therefore even the Eisvei Shvias subsequently became Seichri Shvias and were usher, if they did that, to be Edim or Dayan. That's the interpretation of Rabbi Yehuda. Kashuba b'nei Rechava, but the sons of Rechava had a difficulty with this interpretation of Rabbi Yehuda. Hai Mishir Rabu ha'nasim? How do you learn the words of the Mishnah of Reb Shimon? Then it increased the oppressors? Mishir Rabu ha'tagar mibayle, I should say, but then when they're increased, the merchants, because it used to be a limited amount of people that did business with it. The other people just gathered it to consume for themselves. But then you should say, when they increased the merchants, because we see that they did business with it, they were hiring people, there was a whole production to get this stuff together, that's when it became usur, even for the gatherers. Why are they calling it ha'anasim? Ella rather says the Gemara, a different interpretation. Actually, the other way around. B'tchilah ha'yo'aymrim, in the beginning they said, that echadzeh ve'echadzeh pesulun. Originally they said that both the merchants, and even people that just gather, it looks shady. You're doing this already gives the appearance, it looks like you're doing it for business purposes, and we said that both of them are going to be possible to be Dayanim and Edim. But Mishir Rabu ha'nasim, when increased the impressors, and says the Gemara Mayninu, what does that mean? That means Arnuna, it means the oppression of the government, where the government was taxing these large taxes on the produce, a certain amount of kur for a field per year. And that's a heavy load on an individual who has a field. And the government's going to tax it even in the Shemitah year. As the Gemara says, Kedemachas Rabbiani, like Rabbiani had announced, that he said, Puku v'zor b'shvias. He said, go out and plant on the Shemitah year. Now, as Rashi explains, the reason why he was allowed to do that is because Shemitah, in these days, after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, is only rabbinic. because after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the Kedusha, the sanctity of the Eretz Yisrael was voided, and therefore it's only rabbinically that we keep it. So since it was only rabbinic, Rabbi Yannis says, yes, you can go ahead and plant in the Shemitah, Mishumar Nuna, because of the taxes. If everything's Hefker, people are not going to have what to go ahead and pay for the taxes. So says the Gemara, that concept applies so to here. And that's why Chazrulayma Eisen Kesheirin Seichen Pesulin. That's why they subsequently said that the gatherers are kosher and it's only the merchants that are apostles. That's what it says that Mitchila, when it says that they were the Eisven, and then they called them Seichen, was saying that in the beginning they said that both are apostle. And they said that those who are the gatherers are usher too, and they subsequently said that not only the seichrin are the ones that are going to be usher, but actually the eisrin are going to be kasher, because although originally we said that that's problematic, but since people are limited in their means, you have to pay up the taxes, so only what's definitely usher, like doing business with it, is going to be usher, but those who are gathering, since it's necessary to do some leniencies regarding paying up the taxes, they said the eisvi shiyas, said Reb Shimon, are not a problem for testifying in the court. Now the Gemara brings a story related to this halacha that Reb Chiya Bar Zanuki, Reb Shimon Ben Yoyi Tzadok, these two Talmid Chacham, have ka'azli la'abra shana ba'asya. They were going to Asya to intercalate the year, meaning to have the calculations, the deliberations to ultimately add another month to the year to make it into leap year. Now Pagabuhu Resh Lakish on their way, Resh Lakish encountered them. So Itfal Bahadayu, he joined together with them. And Amr, he said, Ezel Echazi Hecha Avdi Ovdia, let me go with them and see how is it done. This is a big secret how the Ibra Hashana is. Let me go ahead with them and see. Now on their road, on the trip, Chazi Lehu Gavr de Kukarb. So they saw this individual that was plowing. Samuel Hanser, Resh Lakish said to the two Tamilicham that he was with, Kayin Vachayrish, we have a Kayin here that's plowing. In other words, this individual is a Kayin, and he's plowing in the Shemitah year. As the Gemara will later on explain, how do you know it was a Kayin? Is because Kanim are suspect regarding violation of the Shemit, laws of Shemitah. So Amaloi, so they said to him, no, well, how do you know this guy's doing an Avera? Yachalim, he could say, Agistin ani b'teichai. I'm just a hired laborer working on this field, and could be it's the land of a non-Jew, which a Jew is allowed to work on. Or you could even say that maybe it was because of Arnuna taxes, the land tax, of the produce, that the owner hired him to plow, which we said before that it was said that from that it was told that regarding, as Rabbi Yanni had announced, that you're allowed to do things like plowing and planting in the Shemitah year. So how do you know this guy's doing an Avera? He could say that I'm just a hired laborer and it's permitted for him to do this work. So they kept on going and they saw again, Lahu Gavra Dava Kosach Bekarmi. They saw an individual that was pruning the vineyard. So Amal Hani said to them, Kain Vizamri, you have a Kain is pruning, doing a Isser of Shemitah, of pruning, and I'll do work on the land in Shemitah. So Amalai, again they said to Resh Lakish, what do you mean? Yochalim, the guy could say, Leikol Besabara Nitzarach. When he's pruning, he's not doing it because he wants to benefit the land. He needs it for the netting, which is necessary for the press, for the olive press, which is when they would tie on this, they had this big, huge pile of olives when they're pressing it with a beam to press out the oil. So they had to wrap it over with this netting, and you use it, you make it out of the vines. So how do you know he's violating an Isser? If you're doing it for a different purpose, not to benefit the land or the crop, that's actually something permitted. How do you know he's doing a sin? So Amalei Hanser, Resh Lakish said to them, Halev Yodea, the heart knows. In other words, that guy's heart knows. Im le'ekel, if his intention is for like this netting like you're describing, or a play on word, im la'aklakos, which means to do something crooked, meaning, or if he wants to violate Torah law. You're saying it, maybe he looks very much as if he's violating Torah law by pruning his vineyard. Now the Gemara asks, regarding these two episodes, Hai Amalehu Bereisha, which one did Resh Lakish discuss with them first? In other words, Ilei Mahok Kamayis Amalehu Bereisha, if you would say it was in the order that the Gemara mentioned them, that the first one mentioned was the first one that happened, but then the Gemara asks, then Hanami, then regarding the second incident, Leimur Agistan and Nibetoichei, they should have said that the guy would say the same thing. He could just say he's a hired laborer of, let's say, a non-Jew's field when it comes to pruning the vine. Why do they have to introduce a whole new rationale for what the guy would say that he needs it for netting? Ella rather says, the Gemara, you're right, it must be that the second incident we mentioned, Amalei Bereisha, was the first episode that happened. And then he said, then the first one that we mentioned was the second thing that happened. And that's why regarding the vine, so yeah, cutting it off for netting is a good explanation why it's not a sin. But that wouldn't be applicable for plowing. What are you plowing for if not to work the land? What are you going to rationalize there? They have to come up with another a new rationalization, which is regarding that, yeah, maybe he is working the land, but it's a permitted working the land, either for the Anunna tax or because he's working for a non-Jew, but it's not his own field, and therefore how do you know that he's sinning? So the Gemara clarifies, Maishna Kain, why in both of these episodes did Rish Lakish say, when this person he thought is violating an Isra of Shemitah, did he call him a Kain? So the Gemara, as we mentioned before, Mishum the Chashidi Ashvias, because Kahanim are people that are suspect under Shemitah, on the laws of Shemitah. The Tanya, as the Gears is the Tanya, like Luna Braisa, Sa Truma, if there's a certain measurement, the Sa of Truma, Shenaflu Lameya Sa and Shashvias, if it falls into 100 Sa, so you have a ratio of 100 to 1, of 100 of non-Truma, but it's Shemitah produce, and you have this one Sa of Truma that falls into it. So, and that says the Braisa, Satala, so it gets elevated. In other words, what it means to say is that the Truma becomes Batal of a ratio of 100 to 1, because that's the halacha that certain things need a certain amount to nullify them, that prohibition is not a problem. By Truma, it has to be 100 to 1. And since it's just Shemitah produce, so a non-Kain can eat it, as long as it's before the time of what's known as beer, of when you have to liquidate the Shemitah produce, but there's no halachic problem of Truma if it's 100 to 1. But Pachis Mikan, if it's less than 100 of non-Truma from Shemitah produce, then it's what's known in halacha as Meduma, it's a prohibited mixture of Truma with Chulin, and then that's forbidden for a non-Kain to consume. So therefore it says the Brice, in that case, Yerkovi has to leave it to Rat, it's prohibited. And that says the Gemara Vavinaba, and we have asked regarding this Brice, my Yerkovu, why does this produce have to all go to Rat? Yimachu l'Kain. Let them sell this produce to a Kain, who a Kain is allowed to eat Shemitah produce and Truma, Bidmei Truma, so let him sell it to the Kayan in the value of how much Truma is usually sold for, which is a cheaper rate than regular produce, because the supply and demand is not that much of a demand for Truma, because Truma has a lower value than regular Chulin, because it's only fit for a limited market, that of Kahanim. So basically what the question was, is sell it to, let the owner sell it to Kahanim, and get whatever money they can get, which is a much lower rate, except for the value of that one sub truma, which anyways was obligated to give to the Kohen, and that you can't charge for. And as Rashi points out, that there's no problem about selling Shemitah produce, because since it's for the purposes of eating it, so as long as the money and the Shemitah is being involved in the sale to be consumed before the time of beer, says Rashi, that's not a problem. So the question we had asked was, what do you mean? Rat? The Kayan could eat the Truma, they could eat Shemitah produce, everyone could eat Shemitah produce, sell it to the Kayan. Okay, you have to charge much less because Truma gets sold for much less. And moreover, you can't charge for that sub Truma that fell into it, but sell it to a Kayan. And Vam Rav Chiya Mishmei De'ula, he said, Zoysemer. So from there you see the fact that the Braisa did not say that, it's because Nechshdu Kahanim Ashvias, because Kahanim are suspect regarding the laws of Shemitah, which is that the Kayan will hold on to the Shemitah produce after the time of beer, which is a prohibition. And therefore, we're not allowed to even give it to him and sell it to him because he's going to hold on to it. Why does he do it? Because he's what's called Meir Beheter. He finds a rationalization to permit it, because since Truma and Kachay Kachim, all the Karbanas, they're all permitted to a Kayin, and Shemitah produce is also called Kedusha Sa'aretz, it's the sanctity of the lands. He says, well, I'm allowed to eat Karbanas. I'm allowed to eat Truma. So Shemitah is the same thing for me. It's like my regular lunch. It's stuff that are mine, so therefore he's going to rationalize he could hold on to it even after this might not be here. Since they suspect regarding Shemitah, you're not allowed to sell him that Truma that fell into the Shemitah produce. And therefore, because again, he's Chashad HaShviz, and that's why Rish Lakish, when he called this individual who was suspect regarding violating the laws of Shemitah, he called him a Kain. But the Gemara continues the narrative. So Amru, so Reb Chiya Bar Zanuki and this Reb Shimon, they said regarding Rish Lakish that true the Hidain. This person is someone that is bothersome with his words. He creates a conflict wherever we go. He says, this one's doing wrong, this one's doing wrong. So Kimat L'Hasim, when they got to that upper story, to that attic, where they were going to be Ma'abra the year, as the Gemara said in the first paragraph of Yeralf Manaf, that's what they would do. So Slikuli Igru, they went up to the upper story, and Shalfu L'Darga Mitusei, and they took away the ladder from underneath them, basically giving Rish Lakish the hint, that you're not invited. And they went up and they took away the ladder, now you can't get up. So Aslakamid Rabbi Yechanan. So Rosh Lakish came to Rabbi Yechanan, and Amalei, he said to him, "B'nei Adam ha'chashudin ala Shvi'is," regarding individuals that are suspect regarding the laws of Shemitah, which he was alluding to them, because they had defended wicked people who he said were doing violations of Shemitah produce, and they were rationalizing for him. So they're suspect he was insinuating on the laws of Shemitah. Kasherin la'abishana, are they kosher to be dayanim, to be ma'abir the year? He's basically saying they're not even valid. They can't even do the Ibra Hashanah because they're suspected regarding the laws of Shemitah. So Hadam, but then Rish Lakish in this soliloquy, went back and said, "Oh, no, look, Hashle, it's not difficult for me how they could be judges to be make it into a leap year. Me did a Havashle Shiroya Bakr. They're no less than three shepherds of cattle," which the Gemara mentioned previously in Afir Tchesim and Beis, where Rabbanan Achush Benayu Samach, the Rabbanan relied on their calculations, where they were saying, "Oh, it can't be Adar unless if it's this and that," and the Chacham heard what they were saying and realized it's not time for Adar, it's Shvat still, because of what they were discussing regarding the climate, and they were Ma'abed Hashanah. So okay, so he's telling the Chacham they're not less than three cattle herders. But V'Habed Amar, then Rish Lakish said back, "No, Loi Dami, it's not comparable. Hasam over there, Hadar Imnu Rabbanan V'Ibru L'Hu Shaita." Yeah. The logic that was put forth by the cattle herders were incorporated, but then ultimately the Rabbanan got together, they counted themselves, and they went, and they were Ma'abah the year based on their own joining of the Rabbanan. Hacha, over here he says it's worse. Kesher Hashamhu. Here, their joint gathering is a gathering of wicked people. And therefore, Shlakash is saying, how can we rely on their quorum to do as they were saying, even if they're going to do according to the law and the right calculations of being Ma'abed Hashanah, says the year is not going to be considered an Ibriya based on what they're saying, because you need a court to gather together and count numbers and decide amongst the judges that this is something that they want, and a wicked gathering is not considered a gathering at all. But Kesher Hashem, that's not considered part of the quorum, and therefore he was insinuating that these Dayanim are not going to be able to be Ma'abed Hashanah. So Amar B'yechin, Rechin said, Da'aka. This is something that's very, very difficult that you could, that you're calling these two big Tamid Chachamim, that you're calling them wicked people. Now actually, Ki Asli Kamid Rabbi Yechanan, when those two Tamid Chachamim came from the Rabbi Yechanan, Amrle, they said to him, Karalan Roy Bakr, Rish Lakish calls us cattle herder, Veloy Amrle, Marvle, Bindi, and you, the master Rabbi Yechanan, you don't tell him anything? You let him get away with that? So Amrle, Rabbi Yechanan said to them, and Vi Karalachu Roy Tzain, and if Rish Lakish would call you the shepherds of sheep, which in Talmud that's always worse because of the thievery that they would do, my Minle, what am I going to tell him? And even if he said something worse, what do you think I could do? Now the Gemara clarifies, my Kesher Hashem, what was this what Rish Lakish was alluding to when he was saying that maybe they're not even kosher, they're even worse than the Roya Bakr, because they're not valid to be a quorum, to be a gathering, a count, taking a vote, because they're a Kesher, they're a binding of wicked people. So the Gemara clarifies. Shevna, who he was an individual that was appointed on the household of Chizkiyo, the king of Judea, of Yehuda, have a darish betleis ravasa. He would, when he would darshan in the yeshiva, when he would lecture, he would have 13 myriads, meaning he had 130,000 students. Chizkiah, but the king Chizkiah have a darish bechatzar ravasa. He only had 11 myriads, 110,000. Now, kiyasa Sancheiriv, v'tzar aleh the Yerushalayim, when Sancheiriv, the wicked king, came and he laid siege to Yerushalayim, kasev Shevna piska, so Shevna wrote a letter, shod the begir, and he threw it with an arrow, as follows, to Sancheiriv. Shevna v'siyato hishlima, Shevna and his gathering have concluded that we're ready to serve you. Chizkiah v'siyato lo hishlima, but Chizkiah and his gathering, they're not okay with that. They're not ready to serve you. Shnem, like it says, the pasuk in Tehillim, alluding to what Shevna had done, kihine, because behold, harishoyim yidruchun keshes, the wicked, they bend their bow, kain nuchitzum al-yeser, and they prepare their arrow on the string, meaning that because of the arrow that he was attempting to kill his master, Chizkiah HaMelech, through the Lashon Hara that was written over there, shooting to Sancheiriv, that's what this pasuk in Tehillim is referring to. Now, the Gemara tells us that Chizkiah was afraid. Amar, he said, Dilma chas v'shalom, because maybe, heaven for his sake, Nate daita the kutcha b'ruchu basaruba. Maybe the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intentions will go after the majority. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu follows the words of the Torah. The Torah says, Acharam lahatas. Maybe since the Shevna has more students than me, and his gatherings are okay with giving in to Sancheiriv, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu will follow them. Even the Ruba Mimsri, since the majority of the Jewish people are willing to give themselves over to Sancheiriv, Inu Nami Mimsri. he, referring to himself and his people, will also be given over to Zachir. So, Bon Naviv Amalai, that's where the prophet came to Chizkiah and told him, as it says, Yeshaya said, Loitoimrun Kesher, don't say that there's a gathering, that there's a knot, that there's a binding. In other words, don't think in your thought, Chizkiah, that the countings of the people of Shevna is considered accounting to be considered the majority of the Jewish people. To whatever the people say that it's a binding. In other words, what he was telling him was Kesher Hashamu. That's a gathering of wicked people. The Kesher Hasham, and they're not even part of the calculation. You can't count them as numbers when it comes to the gathering of wicked people. And that's what Rish Lakish was referring to, alluding to it, since he considered them wicked because they were protecting the those who were doing Isurim with Shemitah. So saying they can't even be counted as accounting towards making a minyan of deciding if to be Abba the year or not. Now the story continues. Halach Latzab Lekever Bekever Beis David. Actually, Shevna went to dig for himself a grave by the royal graveyard, that of the Kivri Beis David, where he lorded himself to say he's going to rebel against Chizkiah Melech, and he was planning on having himself buried over there like a king. But Naviv Amaloi, so the prophet came to him, that of Yeshaya, and told him, Malachapai, what are you doing over here? Umilachapai, and who are you to be here? Ki chetzavta luchapai kever, that you're digging for yourself a grave over here. Now it says afterwards, Hine Hashem etaltelcha etaltelagavet. Behold, says Yeshaya to him, Hashem will make you wander the wandering of a man. What does that mean? Amar Rav, he says, Tatula degavet, the wandering of a man, Kashem etzitzah, is worse than that of a woman. Because a woman, at least people have compassion on her, a man not, and there Hashem is going to punish you like that. And moreover, as the Pasuk says, V'itcha ota, he's going to have you wrap yourself. Amar Rav Yisrael Chanina, what that means to say is, Malamet shaparcha by tzaras. That tzaras, which is some type of like spiritual leprosy, spread out all over him. Where, how do we see that? Because ksivacha v'otaych ata, says the term of ata. That on their lips they will cover, meaning cloak themselves, which is what the Mitzrayah has to do. He has to cover himself. That's what it says, you're going to have to wrap yourself like the Mitzrayah. And afterwards the Pasuk says, which is a term of like a mitznefes, of a hat, which is saying that the way a hat surrounds the head, so too your enemies and oppressors will surround you, which is that the soldiers will surround you, kador, which Rashi interprets like a beam, to like a wall, to send you into exile, el eretz rachav asyadayim agamer, to a land that's very spread out, which the end of the pasuk says that over there you're going to die, and there the chariots of honor, which the embarrassment that you wanted for the house of your master, is going to come to you, as we learned Tana, learned Nabraisa, who bikesh kolon beis adon, if he attempted to embarrass the house of his master, that of the king, lefikach nepach kavod l'klein. Therefore, his honor was turned into disgrace, which, as the Gemara tells us, what happened was, kevinafik ihu, when Shevna was going out with all his people, as all his 130,000 talmidim, to go out of Yerushalayim to make peace and to give in to Sancheiriv, asigav riel. So the Malach Gavriel came, achte ladasha ba'ape masher yaseh. When Shevna left the walls, Gavriel closed the walls in front of all his people, and he was the only one that was left outside the wall, Shevna himself. As we continue to Amud Beis, so Amrulay, so Sancheiriv's armies said to him, Mashir Yascha Hecha, where's all your people? You sent us this arrow with this letter saying that Shevna and Siyata and all his people are willing to make peace. Where are they? So Amri said, Harubi, they backed out from what they promised me, because here he sees he's the only one, and although the Malach came, but all he saw is that they locked the door and he was the only one that went out. So Amalei, they said to him, so then you're making a mockery out of us. What, you're coming out yourself? We thought 130,000 people are coming out and it's just you? So Nakvu Ba'akav, they made a hole in his heels. V'talu bezanve suseim, and they hung him from the tails of their horses. They were dragging him on thorns and thistles. Now Amr Balazze says, Shevna bal hanaha. Shevna was a man of pleasure. Either that means literally that he was just a pleasure seeker, or actually means to say that he engaged in homosexuality. And the way we know this is, it says over here in Yeshaya, when it's regarding to Shevna, it says, Lech boy al seichan azeh, go to this treasurer, and use the term a seichan. Ksiv Hasim, it says over there, Pasim Malachim Aleph, usahi loy seichan, is that she was for him a warmer, which is a term of pleasure. We see the same term, seichan, by both, and therefore we know that Shevna was a pleasure seeker. Now, Va'omer, it says in that pasuk of Tehillim over there, meaning this is after where it says, we were saying it was referring to Shevna, it says, Kihini Harisham Yidrech and Keshas, because the wicked, the ones that are going to pull their arrows, their bows. So the pasuk there continues, and it says, Kashasis Yeheresun, because when they destroy the Shasis, so tzaddik, if that's the case, then the righteous one, referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ma Paul, what reward has he paid? Which later on the Gemara is going to explain. Where do we see that this is referring to, as we said previously, regarding the Shevna trying to do bad to Chizkiah, where do we see that Shasais is a term of supporting the righteous? Because that's what it sounds like, because it says Kiashasis, because the righteous, Yehresin, if they're going to get destroyed, meaning if Shevna is going to be successful, so Tzadik Ma Paul, so then what did the righteous Hashem gain? How does he reward the righteous? Where the Gemara says, Rabbi Huda Rav Einu, two interpretations. Charama, one says, Ilu Chizkiah b'siyati nerasim, if Chizkiah and his people would be destroyed, and as we'll explain later on, where do we see that in the term Hashasis, then Tzadik Ma Paul, then what did the righteous Hashem gain? What's the reward that he gives for the righteous? Charama, the other one says, it means Ilu Beis HaMikdash Yeharis, if the Beis HaMikdash would be destroyed, meaning through Tzancheirv, with what the council of Shevna was, then Tzadik Ma Paul, then what did the righteous gain? In other words, then where's the wonders of HaKadosh Baruch Hu if he allows this to happen? Ulamar, he gives a different interpretation. He says, Ilu machshavosav shel Esav Rasha eina nerasis. He interprets the pasuk that if the thoughts of that wicked person Shevna would not be destroyed, Tzadik Ma Paul, then what has the righteous Hashem accomplished? In other words, the way he learns the pasuk is when it says ki hashasus yaharasin, means to say that the thoughts of that wicked person which was mentioned previously, which was, we're continuing from that pasuk from Amman Alev, Kihini Harisham Yidruchan Keshes, where the wicked here are plotting. And the reason is, as Igmol explained later, that the term Shasis refers to a person's thoughts, which is what he places in the walls of his heart. Yeharasin, so Kiyashasis Yeharasin means to say that because those thoughts are fit to be destroyed. Because if not, those are the words, don't say that, but because if not, Tzadik Ma Paul, then what has, in this context, it's actually referring to, well, then what has Chizkiyahu done and where is his reward? So that's the three different interpretations in what does this pasuk mean. Either it's referring to the destruction of Chizkiyah, or it's referring to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, or it's talking about the destruction of the thoughts and the plotting of Shevna. So the Gemara explains, Bishlam and Mandam, according to the last interpretation we could understand, where Ilu Machshavosav Shel Esav Rasha, we were saying that, and because if the counsel of that wicked person would not be destroyed, I mean, Haim Dechsev, we could understand what the pasuk means, Ki HaShasis, because the thoughts of Shevna, and we know that Shasis, like it says in Shmoy Zayin, Shas Libegam Lazis, he didn't think about this also, it means a term of thoughts, Yeharasin, so that's what the pasuk means, because the thoughts of his are fit to be destroyed. Because if not, Tzadik Ma'apal, then what's the gain of the righteous? So too, Lamandam and Beis HaMikdash Nami, according to the second interpretation, that it says it's referring to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, we also understand, because we told in the Mishnah Masechtas Yuma that says, Evan Haisisham, under the Aron and the Kachay Kachim, there was a rock, that was Mimais Nevim Harishayim, that was there from the days of the early prophets, Ushasiyah Haisin Nikris, it was called the Evan Shasiyah, the reason for that is because from there was Nishasa Olam, that the world was founded from that rock, as the Gemara in Yuma and Daf Nun Dalet Beis explains that the world was created from Tzion, from Yerushalayim, from this Evan Shasiyah. So you can understand that when it says Kiashasis Yeresin, it's referring to this founding stone, that of the Evan Shasiyah, that's a reference to the Beis HaMikdash being destroyed, which is what would have happened if Shevna would have been successful. But El Mando Amaches Kiyavisiyat, according to the first interpretation, it says that Hashasis refers to Chizkiah and his gathering being killed because of Shevna's plotting with his students. So, where do we find such a thing that righteous are called Hashasis? So the Gemara in Chesivik, it says the pasuk in Shmuel Aleph. It says, "Ki Lashem Mitzuki Arz," because for Hashem are the pillars of the earth. "Vayashes Aleim Sevel," and He has founded the inhabitants on them. Where that's referring to the righteous people, and we see they're called Vayashes. They are Hashasas. That's why it means that Ki Hashasas Yeres. And if Chizkiah and his gathering would have been destroyed, then Tzadik Ma'apol. Then what has Hashem accomplished? Now, others say that where we find that tzaddikim are called Hashasa, this is from a pasuk in Yeshaya. It says, Hifli Eitza, Hashem has wonderful, wondersome counsel. Higdil Toshia, he has vast wisdom, which is that since the world was founded on the Torah and those who learn it, that's why it's called Toshia. So we see that Vayashas Toshia, that it's Hashasis refers to the righteous people who they're the ones who learned Torah and found the world. Amr Bachan, he says a different reason why the Torah is called Toshia. This first interpretation was saying because the world is founded on Torah. He says, Loma Nikrishma Toshia, why is Torah called Toshia? From the term of tash, of making weak, it weakens a person's strength because it uses it all up in this toil of Torah. The Ba'achar, different interpretation, is Toshia, also from the term of mateshes, as Marsha says, but it's not because the person gets weak from learning in Torah, it's shenitna b'chashay, it's because we had to get weakened, we had to be secret. The Torah had to have been given in secret, because of the prosecuting angel who is prosecuting and saying that, what do you mean, why are you bringing the Torah down to this world, leave it up there for the malachim, and don't give over the luchas to Moshe Rabbeinu? That's another reason why the Torah was called Toshia. The Va'achar, a different interpretation, is Toshia. Why is it called Toshia? Is because Devarim Shel Tayu, words of emptiness, meaning just words, which words don't have any substance, they're just vapor, there's nothing there, like Tayu, which is emptiness. And even so, Sha'ila Meshusis Aleim, still the world is founded on the words of Torah, so it's a nutrikin, it's a compound word. The Tav from Toshia refers to Tayu, which is like emptiness, and Shia, which is from the word of Meshusis, on this emptiness, the world is founded on the words of Torah, which is nothing of substance, the world is founded on that. That refers to the words of Torah. Now, Amma Ula, continuing this, the Torah is called Toshia, Ula says, Machshava, a person's thoughts of worry regarding where he's going to get parnasa from, where he's going to get food from, is my Ellis, it helps to make him forget afil debri Torah, even the words of Torah that he knows. Shnemak is a pasuk in Eiv, mefer machshav b'sarumim, he nullifies the thoughts of the clever, and that is that what would have been, v'loy sasen yedem toshia, that they would not have been able to do toshia. So what the pasuk is saying is, Hashem gives the righteous food, which thus nullifies their thoughts, which is all their worry thoughts from their heart, which would not have allowed them to do Toshia, which again, as we said, means the learning of Torah. Or another interpretation this pasuk actually is, what it's referring to is, that the thoughts that a person thinks, that this I'm going to do, and this I'm going to accomplish, that helps to actually make the person not be successful, even when it comes to learning Torah. So if someone says, oh, by that day I'm going to finish that amount of learning, I'm going to finish that mesechta, that's what the pasuk is saying, meifer machshav esarumim, that Hashem nullifies the thoughts of a person, meaning he's not going to be successful, as the pasuk concludes, even for Toshia, even for Torah, person should not be confident saying that, oh, this I'm going to do. Hashem says, you need siyat d'shmaya, don't say that this you're going to do, even for the words of Torah. Now, Amar Rabba says, as we said regarding the first interpretation, but although we said that Torah weakens a person's strength, or that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will nullify a person's intentions if he says, oh, I'm going to do this. But imasukin lishma, but if a person toils in the words of Torah for its sake, then enemei elis. Then actually the worry thoughts does not make him forget his learning. You could have a person who has many thoughts in his heart. He's worried about this. How's he going to pay for that? And although generally it would make a person forget his learning, but says the pasuk, "Va'atzas Hashem hisakum," but the counsel of Hashem will make it stand. What that means to say is, "Eitza," the counsel, which is referring to the words of Torah, "Sheyesh b'divar Hashem," that has in it the word of God, meaning that it's being learnt lishma. Hitakum lo'il, and that will stay forever. So although generally the worry thoughts make him forget his learning, but if he's doing it lishma, then he won't make him forget his learning. Now, the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of our Mishnah that Amr Behuda, he qualified the first disqualification of the category of those who are apostle to be Edim, which were Mesach and Bekuvi, those who are gamblers. He said, Amasai, when did we say this? That's only if they have no other profession but this. But if they do, then even if they're gambling, they're not going to be apostle for Edis. And that says Gemara, Amr Bava, Amr Balaz halacha, Rabbi Yehuda, halacha falls like him, that if a person has another profession, he knows what's going on in the business world, he's not just doing this, then he's not going to be apostle to be an Ed. Another teaching from Amr Bevom or Belazar, also continuing on the theme of our Mishnah, says, Kulon Srichen Hachraz Mebezin, all those that we mention that are possible to be Edim, they're not going to be possible to be witnesses until the court announces, notifying them that they are possible. So though that these people are suspect because this guy lends money on interest, this guy is gambling, but they're not possible to be Edom until the court announces this guy does these inappropriate things for financial reasons, and therefore they're possible to be Edom. But until they announce, the person is not possible. Now regarding Raya, which was one of those that we had later added on, regarding a shepherd, Pligiba Revacha Ravina, there's a machlekes amiram. Chada Mabayach Raza, one says you need an announcement, which is the same idea as all those mentioned in our Mishnah, which is a shepherd will have his animals grazed in another person's field where he suspects to violate Torah law for financial reasons. So you also have to announce regarding him. But V'chadam Alei Baruch Raza, the other one says that you don't have to make an announcement because everybody knows a shepherd is a sinner who will do it for financial reasons. And since everybody knows this guy's a shepherd, everyone knows he's possible and therefore there's no necessity for an announcement. Now the Gemara asks, Bishlam L'mandam Alei Baruch Raza, we could understand according to the one that says you don't need an announcement, we could understand the halacha of Rabbi Yehuda Merav that we mentioned in the previous staff, Stam Raya Apostle, that generally, even unspecified, you could assume that a shepherd is apostle, because that's going like him, who says you don't have to make an announcement, he's automatically apostle. But according to the one who says you do need to make an announcement regarding a shepherd, my Stam Raya Apostle, what does it mean that any unspecified shepherd is apostle? It's not true. It's only if they had made the announcement. And that says the Gemara, no, what it means to say, according to that mandama, is the bistama machrezinan allah. That an unspecified shepherd, even though witnesses did not come to say that we saw him bring his flock into another person's field, even without that, once a person is a shepherd, we automatically make the announcement regarding him. But not that it's even without the announcement, it's just that, yes, tam rei apostle means that we will make the announcement and then he'll be apostle. But you need an announcement even by the shepherd. Now the Gemara says, Hahi matana, there was a certain gift that was being given from one person to another one, that the two witnesses that signed in it were two robbers. So Savra Papa Bar Shmuel Achshur, Papa Bar Shmuel thought to say that the document is valid. Why? Because no announcement was said regarding them, although they're robbers, but we said, anyone, these individuals are apostles to be Edom, they have to be announced. Once they announced the apostle, but if they weren't announced, then they're not, and these individuals were never announced regarding. That Amalei Rava, Rava said to him, Nihide be'ina nachraza be'gazlan drabbanan. Although that we said that you need to make an announcement regarding rabbinic gazlanim, which are those of our Mishnah. Rabbinically, they're robbers. When you're taking people's money, like asmach lekanya by gambling, we are not biblical gazlanim, they're rabbinic, so then people don't know. You have to make the announcement. If you don't make the announcement, they're not apostle. But by gazlan d'iraisa, but by biblical robbers, which is when someone literally goes and takes something from someone else and steals, like as the pasuk says in Shmuel Beis ben Yoyada ben Yoyada, that vayigzol esachanis miyaramitzu, he stole the spear from the hand of the Egyptian, as the Gemara explains in Baba Kama Ein Tesma Beis, me bin achrazid, we need to make an announcement. Everybody knows that's considered a robber, and you don't have to make an announcement, and they will be puzzle these gazlanim because they are automatically even without an announcement. The Gemara continues with Simon and Amanik is Dover, Va'arayis, and Ganav, which that refers to the three teachings of Rav Nachman regarding this topic of our Mishnah. Rav Nachman, he says, Oichli Dover Acher, which is the Dover, the first Simon. Those who eat Dover Acher, what this refers to is actually someone that receives charity from non-Jews, which is a Chil Hashem, because of monetary reasons. And he's similar to the biblical one who's possible for ages, which is a Rasha of Chamas, a wicked person for financial reasons, are possible to say testimony. So this individual is the same thing. Pesul l'Eidus, they're possible to say testimony because they're doing things that desecrate God's name for financial reasons. Now, says the Gemara, however, Hanamila b'Farhesa, that's only if he's taking the money in the public forum. Avla b'tzina, loy, but if it's in private that no one knows about, there's nothing, that's not going to make him possible for an aid. And b'fahesin namilaymar, and the reason was because the reason why it's possible is because of he's violating chil Hashem. There's no chil Hashem if no one knows about it. Now, moreover, even if it's in public, we didn't say this. El de'efshar le'lisazuni b'tzina. Only if it's possible for him to get sustenance in private. V'komavazi nafshi b'vesa, but he's disgracing himself in public. So that's a chil Hashem, and he's doing it for financial reasons. So then that will make him possible. But says the Gemara, but if it's not possible for him, then chayusehu, then it's his livelihood, and then even if he's doing it b'fahesia, it's not considered chil Hashem because it's necessary for him to survive, and then he won't be possible to be an aid. We're not suspecting him to violate Torah law for financial reasons. Next teaching from Omer of Nachman, he says, a chashad al arayis, if someone is suspect regarding immorality, then kashal edus, he's still kashar to be a witness for testimony. The reason for that is because you need to have what's known as rasha of chamas. Not just every wicked person cannot testify. Many people do sins. But it's someone that's a wicked person regarding financial reasons, as the pasuk says in Shemais Chav Gimel Atashas, where it says, eid chamas, a witness that lusts after money. So there we suspect that when it comes to a court case of financial handlings, then he might come to testify falsely or be biased because of the money. But someone that's because of illicit relations has no bearing, and he'll be kosher for edus. On that, Rav Sheshes is asked, he says, Ani Mari, answer me, my master. Arbon Bekasve, he has 40, meaning 39 lashes on his shoulder. And the reason why is because even if the individual would not have had any hasra, which you generally need to be warned before getting lashes, the Gemara tells in Kedushin of Pei Aleph and Aleph that we give lashes for a person that has what's called loy toiva hashmu, where the things they're saying about him are not good. As it says, al bani, we tell him a whole thing that's not good, the reports we're getting. So this guy has 40 lashes on the shoulders for kasher, and is he going to be kasher? How could someone that's blatantly doing these inappropriate things be valid as a witness? And the Gemara doesn't tell us the response, but as we said before, there's no need for the response because although he gets lashes and he's not a good person, but we don't find it regarding financial reasons that he's doing something wrong, and therefore he'll be kosher to be an aid in regarding to this financial court case. Now, Amar Rava, but Rava said, Umoyd Rav Nachman, but Rav Nachman does agree to what Rav Sheshes' question was, Le'inin Eidus Isha Shu Pasal, regarding the testimony regarding a woman, regarding a woman's marital status, that then true apostle, then he's apostle, because he suspect regarding arayis. He might have his eye on this woman. So he's not, then regarding that, you're right, that's the same idea we're saying of Eid Chametz regarding financial cases. This guy is regarding arayis, not he suspects, therefore then he would not be trustworthy to be an aid regarding things relating to arayis. Now, Amar Avina, Vitim in some stage of Papa, but he qualifies as Loyamar, we didn't say this, Elala Puka, only if this testimony is to have her leave the marriage, where he's testifying either that this husband died or that he divorced her, where he wants her to be single, then this woman could be available to him. Avali Iyula, but if he's actually having her go into a relationship where he's testifying that man engaged her, where then now he's not available to her, then Leslamba, then there's no problem, then he is believed to say that testimony. So the Gemara's Peshitta, of course. That's actually making it worse for him. Why wouldn't we believe it? Says the Gemara, because Ma'av detaim, what would you think to say? Ha'adifale, he actually prefers that she's now forbidden to him, that she's a married woman, where now she's not available to him anymore. The chassid, like the pasuk says in Mishlei, ma'im genuvim yimtaku b'goymer. Stolen waters are sweet. And therefore, actually, maybe we would suspect that he's actually lying and he wants her to be considered married because now it's sweeter to go and do something which is you can't get. That's what the Gemara is teaching. The Kama Dekai Mahachi, no, as much as she's like this, meaning if she's single, then Shechichel, and then she's available. He would not go ahead and lie and make her into a married woman to make it harder. To the contrary, if he's saying that she's married to someone, then we do believe him. The third teaching from Amar of Nachman is that Gan of Nisan, someone steals in the month of Nisan, which is the time of the reaping season. The Gan of Tishrei, if someone steals in the Tishrei, in the month of Tishrei, which is the time of gathering in the crop, then Loishme Ganav. As we'll explain shortly, then he's not considered, he doesn't have the name of a Ganav. So the Gemara qualifies and explains, Hanimili Ba'arisa, this was said with a few stipulations. First of all, it's talking about that this is the sharecropper, who he's putting in all the work into the land, and he does, again, what we mentioned before, what's called Meir Hatta, he rationalizes to himself that, yeah, it's okay, it's you're allowed to, it's the company doesn't mind this. But Davimut also has to be, it's only a little bit more on this portion that he's allowed to get, meaning he's allowed to get a half or a third, whatever was made up the sharecropper gets, is a little bit more, and because of all the effort he puts in, he says, I'm for sure allowed to do this. And Ubedavish Nigma Malachta, and third of all, it also has to be a type of produce that he's taking, that he's, quote, stealing, with something that's the work has already been, is being concluded by. And the reason for that is because the Aris, the sharecropper, considers himself like a worker, which is how a person's rationalizations work. And he's saying that, what do you mean, a worker is allowed to eat when he's finishing it up. So he thinks, so there's no problem. First of all, look how hard I'm working. And, you know, I'm a sharecropper. And this is when it's Gemar Malacha, which a worker is allowed to eat. For sure, I'm allowed to eat. So therefore, explains the Gemara, that then he's not a Ganav. In other words, meaning, of course, he's a Ganav. But we said that a Ganav, a Goslin, is going to be possible to be an aide because we see he'll violate Torah law for financial reasons, this person doesn't think he's doing anything wrong. Of course not. To hire me to say false regarding a court case, I would never do that. This guy's not suspect. Here he rationalizes. He thinks he's not doing anything wrong. That's why he's doing it. And therefore, he doesn't have the title of Gan of the Apostle as an aide. Now, the Gemara tells us that Ikari de Rav Zvid, this farm worker of Rav Zvid, who's not his sharecropper and he's not someone that shares in the produce, he didn't have any rights to eat from it at all. Chad Gan of Kava de Sari Upasli, one of them, he stole a kava of barley, and Rav Zvid said he's possible to be an aide, because again, he stole, which is violating Torah law for financial reasons. B'chad gan of kivur dahine, one stole a cluster, which has like many dates in one branch of this kivur dahine, upasle, and he invalidated him. Once you steal, once you violate Torah law for financial reasons, that makes, as we said in the halacha of Amishnam, possible from being aide. Now, the Gemara says, Hanu kivuroi. There were those who were grave diggers, these one who buried dead people. The kavur nafsha b'yom tov rishon shel atzeres, they buried an individual on the first day of Shavuos. Now, shamtin rapapa excommunicated them, because that's forbidden to be done. Upaslin leidus, and he also said they're possible to be witnesses because for the financial gain that they get for burying somebody, they violated Torah law, and therefore they're like this case of Rasha of Chames, where they're a wicked person for financial reasons. But Vachshirinu Ravuna Breda Bishur. Ravuna Bishur said they're kosher. So Amar Papa, Papa said to him, what do you mean? Varashamnu, they're wicked people, and for financial reasons. On that he answered him, as we mentioned this concept just before, Savri Mitzakavdi. They were rationalizing. They thought they're doing a mitzvah. So therefore, yeah, they're getting financial gain, but to do a violation of testifying falsely, of course they wouldn't do. What do you mean? Here they're violating Torah law for financial reasons. They didn't think they're doing anything wrong. They thought they're doing a mitzvah, burying a dead person. On that, he asked back, but what are you talking about? How could you say that? We had already excommunicated them the first time they did this. And this is not the first time they're doing. They're doing a violating again in sin. So how could you say they think they're doing a mitzvah when they already excommunicated them? They know they're doing something wrong, and they're doing it for financial reasons. Of course, they should be possible to be aidim. And then answered the Gemara, no, Savri, they thought the reason why they were put into excommunication is kaparo ka'abdi l'rabban, and the rabbis have to do some type of an atonement for what we had done, and it's not that we shouldn't do this again. No, you're allowed to be mechal yamtiv because of the mitzvah of burying a dead person. It's just that, okay, sometimes you have to do something, but then you need an atonement, so we need this nidui, this excommunication to atone. But really, we should be doing this, and therefore they continue doing it. And therefore he says they're still rationalizing that they're doing a mitzvah, and that's why they're doing it, but something that they clearly know, like testifying falsely in the court of law, they would never do, and therefore they're not suspect regarding lying as eidim, and therefore they are kosher to be eidim. Similar to Rav Nachman's halacha, they've gone of Nisan, they've gone of Tishrei, Lishmegana, because although they're clearly doing something wrong, but they're rationalizing, they think they're not doing anything wrong, and therefore when it's clear cut, open, black and white, they would never go ahead and testify falsely, then they're still going to be kosher to be aidim for a monetary court case.